Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. I found Johnny. It was like an unsolved mystery for a week. We had to do without him. I had to drive around Texas for hours and hours and hours, and I finally found the guy. And today's topic is an important one, and it's moving too fast as a reseller. And I have personal experience with this, so I guess I will just go first here and get it out of the way. So many moons ago, probably 2023, maybe 2022. I'm not good at remembering things. We kind of just joked about that before we started this. I got ungated to sell CDs and DVDs on Amazon, right? So big thing. Yay. I can now send in CDs and DVDs. Well, I was so anxious and so excited that I forgot that you're not buy box eligible when you are brand new to a used category. So I was sending all of the junk that you know, the CDs that sell once every month, once every 2 or 3 months, like it's just not going to work feasibly. But I was so elated and so excited that I could be more than just the used book guy that I just said, the hell with it. I'm going to send in all of the slow moving junk. Well, in Amazon land, you get punished if you don't have the buy box for sending in slow moving junk. So it should have took maybe a month to 3 months to get the buy box. It took me, I think it was right about 6 or 7 months because I front loaded everything. I ran out to every store. I scanned every CD, every DVD, and it took me that long to actually get the buy box just because I was new to the game and I was so excited and I went and spent all my money and I was left sitting there wondering what the hell is taking so long. Well, it's too late. By the time it's already sent, like, to have it sent back to you would have cost me hundreds, thousands of dollars. So I screwed myself over by being new and not new to app. Like I knew the rules. I 100% knew that I should not have done this, but I was just so excited that nothing else mattered. And I paid the price and it probably cost me a couple thousand dollars in sales. Now that I look back on it, it was 100% stupid. And I guess I paid the stupid tax so everybody else doesn't have to, because when people now are brand new in a used category, I say, hey, hold up. You can't go crazy with this. You got to be a little bit smarter than the used book guy was, just because I was a fool. So, yeah, that was my real life experience. True life, reselling mindset podcast style. Johnny, take it over.
So there's an old quote from a scholar, I'd like to say. More money, more problems. So if you have more money, you're like, oh, I have more opportunities to do more things. And it's really tempting to blow your back stock of money on either more inventory. Hey, maybe I'll get a smallish warehouse thing that I'll cobble together. Now I got rent overhead. Or maybe I will hire an employee. I got enough to pay him for a week. And you inherit these problems with excess cash if you decide to grow too quickly, I'd say, or move too fast. And it's a downfall spiral, because you'll fail and then you try to figure out how to prevent yourself from failing because you can see it coming. And getting yourself out of that hole is terrible. And then I see other people that, hey, like, I got these credit cards. It's like Monopoly money. I can grow my business super quick. I'll spend $2,000 in credit cards and I'll get it back in a month because my sales are great. And then something happens, or like the buy box fiasco. And then like, oh, my prediction was wrong. What do I do now? I guess I got to schedule one-on-one with Mike and Johnny.
No, don't do that. I think it's so true, man, because I can't spend all the money I make on Amazon. I can't spend it cherry picking in my area, right? So like, everybody yelled, Mike, just do bulk. I can go on Facebook Marketplace right now, and like, there's people that literally sell Gaylords of Media within like an hour of me, right? So like what Johnny's saying, I could go spend all of my money, but I see the problem is, Johnny, dude, they don't care what we say. They don't care what nobody says, because they're going to do it the right way. And their one opportunity is unlike any other that's ever existed. So you it's so hard to get it through to people that like it's all right to slow down, because I think all resellers want to grow so fast and always be growing and growing and growing. But I do believe 95% of them think that their situation is going to be different, even though me and Johnny have loaded the car with books, had to carry books up and down multiple flights of steps, thousands of pounds of books, and 110 degree heat. Their situation is going to be different. Even though it says, even though the Weather Channel says it's going to be 110 degrees, their situation will be different. There's going to be millions and trillions of dollars to be made. And me and Johnny are like, don't you dare, don't do that. But to them, it's like, it's hard to convince somebody else, especially a reseller, when an opportunity in quotation marks is sitting right in front of them and it seems too good to be true. How could I ever lose money? I'm just like, all right, let me know how that goes for you. We've seen it happen over the years.
Yeah, and if you're up north like Tommy Boy and you got the dog sled on the way to the estate sale trying to load that thing up, jokes aside, I mean, it's an inherent problem because if you buy the truckload of books for the first time just because you have the cash flow to do so, you don't account for all the labor that's involved in there or the space, or you're like, I'll deal with the space if I need to, and then you need to because you overbought or you miscalculated or something. And now you're paying rent on at least a storage unit. I mean, you've created temporary problems with yourself, but the key word in there is problems. And we're not saying don't ever do these things, but you have to be prepared and don't blow your entire reseller savings on experimenting and growing and stuff of that nature. And it's hard because what we do, it has a bigger rate of return than the stock market. And it's hard not to just go full hog on, let's see how fast I can compound my money by buying as much product as humanly possible and working a ridiculously amount of hours until I fall over dead. It's hard not to do that. Like Mike said, if the opportunity is right in front of you, why not? Well, the answer is you're not ready. You need to grow into that.
I think you honestly do. I think the only way people learn this lesson is by doing it and absolutely wasting 3 weeks of their life trying to get through it, because we see it, right? We see it in the Discord, like people post and they're like, look at all this stuff I just got. And like, there's, so, I know like that person's so excited. I'm excited for them. And I think to myself, don't come
Glad
to
it's
my
not
house.
me.
Don't back that truck up to my house, because there is no shot you can pay me to unload them damn books and get, 5 to 10% that are good for Amazon. Like I've been there, but I guess you got to experience. And here I'm the person now. I am a little bit more weary. Like if somebody says, hey, here's like Deb does it all the time. Like that's probably not a good deal. Or you'll tell me, hey, I probably wouldn't buy that stuff. Or hey, buy that stuff. I do listen more than I used to. But even still, every once in a while, Johnny, I'll come across that Facebook Marketplace list and I'm like, what could go wrong? All right. There's no way I lose money. You won't lose money in like if you just go like penny for penny. You never lose money in reselling penny for penny. But how much damn time and how much work is going into this one? If you just went and ran your route, went to your thrift stores, went to your libraries, you'd be way better off. But it's
Instead of
just
getting, I don't know, $50 an hour, you're now down to $4 an hour just because of all the manual work. And yeah, those photos, man, I see them. I'm like, yeah, those are the before photos. Where's the after photos where that truck is empty and that person is drinking a Gatorade, sweat dripping down their brow, and they got the Rocky bandana on and they just look like they've been through it? Where are those photos? We never see those. We just see the look how much stuff is in the truck or car or U-Haul or whatever.
it's media, right? I try to get this through to everybody. This stuff is everywhere. Nobody else is going to buy this stuff off Facebook Marketplace. You can offer next to nothing for it. It will sit there forever. I've seen it happen. I've made some good deals because of it. And I think just because you have the capital, I try to tell this because a lot of people grow pretty quick. And all of a sudden, they go from making $1,000 a month to $5,000 a month. And I try to tell people, be strategic with your money. Just because you got more coming in, just because I made more money than I ever have in my Amazon career this year, it's not like I'm out just throwing money around, right? You still have to be smart with your money, and there's always going to be another opportunity. This isn't going to be the only time somebody has a house full of books. This isn't going to be the only time somebody's selling a Gaylord of DVDs or CDs. There's all it, when the time comes, and maybe you can't get it from your sources, maybe you try the route. But I think another thing is there's no, like, people don't do test buys, right? People are just like, just give me it all, right? It's not like, hey, can I come over and take a look at it? They're just like,
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
Here's the money. I'll deal with it, right? It's never like, I'll take one Gaylord. It's like, well, you got five of them. I guess I got to take all five. It's like, you've never even done a single one.
It's your wallet. You're the one in control, not them. And it's not even our business of reselling that this is an issue. And we see it happening in sports and movies. People get a lot of money and they don't know how to handle it and they blow it all. I mean, like MC Hammer, Nick Cage. I love me some Nick Cage, but damn, does he not know how to hold on to a dollar? And even in the music industry, it's all over the place. Anybody who hasn't had excess money before tends to mismanagement until, and maybe that's a necessary evil. They mismanagement and then they figure out never again. And they have to go through that. It's just like us saying, no, don't do it. And they do it anyway. They got to learn from themselves, right? And the other thing I see happen is they bring on staff or they hire a person. And then, I don't know, a month to 3 months later, they have to let that person go. That is not fair to that person. Because you were incompetent enough not to forecast correctly, or you guessed, and your guess was horribly wrong. I've seen this happen a lot. I'm not talking about the poor Philippines VA. I'm talking about some guy to help you or girl come in and help you process and or photograph or do something. They're let go in 1 to 3 months' time because you didn't give the business enough time to fully pay them indefinitely. And you're kind of trying to rush it into profitability to pay for them. You got a little bit of money, it's a buffer, but when that buffer runs out, it's like you were them and it's always them that gets cut. That's unfair, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think you're right too, because I think a lot of people are so quick to get an employee, and I think it could be very beneficial to businesses if you have it laid out. But I feel like the percent of people that have it laid out versus the percent that don't in the reselling space is like 10 to 90, and 10% being the people that actually have things calculated. Because I'll tell you what, most people, if you dropped an employee off of their door today that said they needed an employee, they would say, oh yeah, you can go over there and you can work on this. And it's like, what the hell? These people have, a lot of these people, even if they were resellers before, they don't know your expectations. Do you have SOPs, what you expect from them, when they're going to work, how often they're going to work, whatever. Like, resellers are the most lackluster, sit back business owner operators ever, and they don't understand that there needs to be processes in place. I mean, you've been through the ropes when it comes to employees before, and I know for a fact you have everything laid out. The people just don't show up, and then you're like, well, let's see what we're going to do today, and you sit there for 30 minutes and try to figure out where you're going to send that employee to go work.
Yeah, you can't have them just twiddling thumbs because you're just burning money at that point. And also burning their time. So we said when not to do it, but when should you do it? When should you do it? It's probably you got at least 6 months of them working 40 hours a week in the bank. And even if you bring them on part time, so that's a year essentially. I would say that's a good starting point. But you got to make sure you can continually bankroll on top of that 6 months. It can't just be 6 months and then we'll think about paying them again once that 6 months is up. No, you got to keep funneling it in so they can continue to work. But I would say a 6 month head start is a good starting point. You could do it with less, but I'm being conservative in my number here. And let's go for conservative because we want to keep Mr. Billy or Miss Sally employed.
I think it works. The idea that tracking your employee, tracking your extra income, because if you bring somebody on, right, you should be making extra money, is important. It's the same if you're just buying the product, right? So you have two aspects: getting an employee quick or buying too much product quick. You should track both of these, because if you're going to continue to buy more, you should be able to say, hey, I'm making X amount of dollars per hour. Here's how much more inventory I'm listing, selling, sending to Amazon, listing on eBay. It's the same with the employee. How much more revenue? How many more listings am I doing now that I have an employee? How much more money am I making now that I have an employee? I forget what the rule is. I know I'm bad, but I forget, like, for every one employee, you should make X amount of dollars that they're actually being paid. I don't know what it is, but I know it's more than 1X because then you're just breaking even, right? But
Yeah, they go ahead, go ahead.
I think a lot of people just hire somebody or buy a lot of inventory and they don't track those things. Like I think like if I have an employee, we better at least be doubling what we're doing, right? So I don't care what that person makes per hour. I want to double my actual revenue coming in from the business, whether that's eBay or Amazon. If they make $20 an hour, yeah, I'll track how much I'm paying them, but my overall revenue should be doubling because theoretically we're doing double the work.
Right, and that leads me to what I was going to say here. It's you can't do the same thing you were doing by just bringing on another person because then you're making negative dollars. You need to be producing more. Now there's two of you, so either you need to, if you're overbuying, you're in a good place. You don't have to up your inventory purchasing. So they've come on to help you with that. If you're underbuying, like you're able to do all the work, well, then you need to buy more. That's another expense you've just brought on because your cost of goods is now, well, probably doubled at this point. And then the packaging supplies, I don't care if you're doing Amazon or eBay, you're going to have to buy more because you're going to sell more. Assuming the listings go up either in eBay or Amazon, and we'll call a box a listing, I guess. And the outflow has to be more. It cannot be the same because you're just going to put yourself in a bad position, and you don't have excess money now because you've given all the excess money to the employee or maintaining excess money, and you're not growing. You're maintaining, and you're kind of getting, well, I'm just going to say it, lazy. Don't be the lazy reseller. Be the efficient reseller. Use them to enhance your business, not maintain the status quo.
And there's other problems that come with both hiring an employee and buying too much inventory, right? If you hire an employee, if we're doing more work, we're probably going to have to buy more inventory. You're not accounting for that. You're going from 20 listings a day to 40 listings a day, or one box a week to five boxes a week. And it also works the other side. If you're buying too much inventory, well, like Johnny said, you're going to be sending more inventory, you're going to be listing more inventory, you're going to need more packing supplies. So it's not just that initial, oh, I'm buying more inventory, or oh, I'm hiring an employee. There's like so many subcategories of expenses that you don't think about. You just see the glorious employee and hey, I can do this now. And all of a sudden you're like, well, you come into work and we got nothing to list today because my five listing that I had projected out for the next 3 months, it's all done now. Maybe this employee is a superstar, and you're like, oh, maybe this person I'm expecting like 10, 15 listens a day. And this person shows up and they're like, oh, I can do like 50 of these a day. And you're like, shit, I ain't got the inventory for that, right? All of a sudden, you create more problems by doing either
You
one of
got
these
that
things.
all-star overachiever employee, which you want, but you can't keep up with them, and they don't know that.
Dude, you create other problems by this. And you can't account for everything, right? Me and Johnny are not sitting here. Every decision we've made when it comes to bulk or employees, 100% was like, oh, this is guaranteed to work. There's no guarantee in this, but you can sort of forecast things out, kind of like any business that has theft, right? They call it shrink. Every business accounts for 3 to 6% shrink, just stuff that walks out the door disappears. It's the same in reselling. You're going to have these sunk cost categories where it just is what it is, but you can be like, I mean, if I was to hire an employee, dude, I would do exactly what you said, right? We have wages set aside for 6 months. How much more productivity am I going to get? Well, you really don't know that because you don't know if your employee is going to be great. Maybe you got to get rid of this person.
Right. You're going to have turnover. And also, we haven't even talked about training time. You're going to be moving slower during training time. You're going to get less done during training time. But it's a necessary evil in order to, in fact, train them. I mean, you can have efficiencies in place where it's pretty, we'll call it stupid proof, but it's their first time with it. And if they've never been a reseller before, they have no idea what's going on. They're going to ask you questions, unnecessary questions, but they're curious. And it is okay, and it is fair to answer those questions because they're there. They have no idea what's going on. They're like lost in the swarm of Wow, this is reselling life. What's that over there? What's this over there? What's this do? What, can I press the red button, Johnny? Yes, do it.
I do think though, I think one thing that is true is if you're a newer reseller and you get one of these crazy big opportunities to buy a bunch of stuff, I think you do get through it quicker and more efficiently because it's like your first time, right? You're motivated. Like I just think about we got a guy in the group, Sigil. He does he's like a musician, and his first like bulk buy was like 14,000 CDs, and like 95% of people would have just folded up and been like, yeah, this is way too much. But I think because he was a musician and it was like his first big pickup, he was just like, I love this shit, right? But that's like that's a percent of a percent, like we've been talking about it. When we've been doing this long enough, it's hard to convince me and Johnny to come to the basement and just take all your books blindly, right? Like you gotta be a we're a tough sell when it comes to you just throwing a bunch of work at us and us just being like, yay, let's do it, right? Because we have the relationships, we have the inventory already, so we take away from what we are doing now that produces income. And it's always fun to roll the dice. That's why we resell. That's why Storage Wars was like one of the biggest shows ever, because I'm going to roll up the door, Johnny. It's cool for YouTube, but most of you ain't doing damn YouTube, so don't, and even then, don't waste your time.
In one hiring phase I did way back when, it wasn't that long ago, it was 2 years ago. It's what I call bullpen hiring. This is a thing where you hire a bunch of people and you only plan to keep a small percentage of them. In my case, it was one. I hired four people at once, and I was looking for the best person for that was going to fulfill everything that I do in my business. I was looking for who can I mold to be my clone. You know what? On paper, it was this other guy. He didn't make it. He was really good in certain aspects, but he wasn't good in all aspects. And you know what? He complained a hell of a lot. But on paper, he had the most experience. Then I had another person that was really good at only one thing and garbage at the others. And then I had another person that was just I don't know. They got sick a lot, or they're the kind of type that just didn't want to come in all the time. And then the one person who I considered the weakest link at the top of my list ended up being the one I kept because she would always hustle. She would ask questions. She would get better. I only have to really give her instructions once and refine her over time. But she was the youngest one. This was her first job, technically, quote unquote, job at the time. And she was the best of the best, even though on paper she was the worst of the worst. But I wouldn't have known that unless I did what I did. That's the thing with turnover. You don't realize what you have and what's better unless you do something like that. I'm not saying do bullpen hiring because that cost a lot of money to do, because I was letting one go a week, or that was 2 weeks. Yeah, I gave him 2 weeks and I let one go. The team got smaller and smaller. When I got the last two, they finally asked me what's going on. But yeah.
It's I think that the problem with people hiring is it gives them an excuse for like you could almost blame everybody else, right? Like if I go buy a bunch of shit, right? Like a bunch of CDs, DVDs, or do a book pickup, right? There's nobody to blame but myself. But if you have an employee, dude, how many failed resellers that have employees just sleep at night knowing and blaming that, oh, it's my other employee that's dragging me down, because most people can't have hard conversations, right? Most people never been in a situation where they have to let somebody go or have like a corrective action talk. Like I've been store manager at CVS, so like you have to do these things, right? Like there's reviews and there's corrective actions and there's level one, level two, level three. Like most people that are resellers have never had to go in and be like, Johnny, by the way, like you are dog doo doo at your job, buddy. And I'm gonna have to, you're either gonna have to wake up and smell the roses, or I'm gonna have to kick you in the bottom and send you on your way, right? Like, we can sit here and joke about that. And we've had these conversations with other people and actually have had to let people go. But like 99% of resellers, yet again, they will hang on to the, here goes another thing we can get into, hanging on the bad employees and hanging on the bad inventory when it comes to running into these things right away.
One more quick thing. She couldn't type, guys. I had to teach her how to type. She was a pecker. The all-star guy, he was a college kid, you know, from Godfather. Hey, college boy. He was one of those, right? But he's not again, just because you don't know how to do something, but you have the ability to learn how to do something, that's more valuable to me. I'd rather have somebody that knows nothing than somebody that knows everything work for me. Because it's harder to unlearn something than to learn something is the bigger difference there. But let's see, outside of employees, what do we got about going too fast? Yeah, there's something to be said about not necessarily overbuying, but over promising with your connections that you're building. We always say make connections, but if you make too many of them, you're then quote unquote obligated to pick up when they want you to. And or you got five people to pick up and they're 2 hours away in five different directions. That's a long day you've just built for yourself, unfortunately. And also, there's a space factor. Maybe you miscalculated how much space you'll need with all these connections you've just been grinding out over the past 3 months. I'm not saying don't make connections, but you need to make sure you can handle the connections you've acquired because you may have to drop the ball on one of them. Like, look, I can't pick up today. I have no space to put your stuff. That's not their problem. That's a you problem. Or this is a scenario of I overbooked. Sorry, I'll be there next Tuesday. They're going to cut you loose, and that may be the best connection you have.
I guess we could round out the call here with this one is having to have every damn fancy bell and whistle that you see on social media and reselling content, right? Like you just listed your first 10 items on eBay. Do we need the $250 heavy duty 6-tier metal storage rack from Home Depot? No, we do not. Okay. Do
Right,
we
need
need
three.
the souped up Dymo 20XL XS XP, whatever it may be, thermal printer? No, we do not, right? Like Johnny, this happens all the time. I have so many one-on-ones, people are brand new. I tell them, start out as cheap as you can. We don't need to put all the money into something until we can figure out, does this business model work? Do I enjoy doing this? Do I have enough of it around me to sustain this business model? I can't tell you how many people have literally went out and they've had more expensive stuff than I do, and they've never sold a damn thing on Amazon. I'm sitting here like, you guys are crazy, right? I'm like,
I've seen that so many times. Like, are we on the prices right? Am I supposed to like pick out how much you spent per item there? That's a table full of money. And how have you sent in your first box? Nope, but I'm ready. I'm like, no, you're not.
it's, I don't know, it's like kind of like HGTV, like, compare your stuff to stuff, and I'm here to tell you, none of that means
We're not even
anything.
talking warehouse life. We're talking they brought themselves a dedicated work computer. Brand new, it's probably like 2 grand. You got the Dymo printer, there's hundreds and hundreds of dollars there. And then I don't know, a year's supply of rolls that you sit in one box. And then they got their an equal amount of stuff on those racks you mentioned of those Lowe's small boxes ready to go. And it's like, my God, you've spent thousands and thousands of dollars and you maybe sent in one box, but you believe in it so much, you were willing to, no, stop it. Do it slow.
I'm a skeptic when it comes to trying new things, right? So like I've tried other businesses in the past and I have some I work on in the background now, but even when I started the ones that I'm continuing on the background now, like I still want to keep my overhead so damn low. I don't know. I'm too cheap, 100%, right? It's just how I was raised and the financial times I've got through, but I just can't justify throwing out even if it's hundreds of dollars on something I have no idea whether or not it's going to be work. And I should have told people in the beginning, take advantage of free trials, buy a $5 Bluetooth scanner, don't use any software, you don't need it, you're brand new, you can suffer through Seller Central listing your boxes. And the amount of people that probably actually do that is a percent of a percent. Most people are just like, well, I'm getting the softwares, I'm getting this, and then a month from now it is, well, my overhead cost is like $500 a month. And I'm like, well, let's see what you're paying for. You're paying for shit you don't need.
Couple things here. You should start with Seller Central because your software can be down and you have operations to maintain. And if you don't know jack all about where things are on Seller Central, or at least an idea because they keep changing the user interface, you're going to spend the day trying to figure out what is what, where is where, how do I do this? So I would say for at least your first 1,000 units you ship in, just do it all through Seller Central. So you at least know the quote unquote process. Yeah, that process will change as they update the UI, but at least you have a baseline to go off of. The other thing is it's a tightrope or a seesaw balancing act of low cost, no cost of, well, I'm holding myself back by not upgrading this thing here. And I have the funds to do so, and it's not going to hurt me to maybe upgrade to a thermal printer instead of like the Brother printer. Or maybe I can get a faster listing software now. I'm at that stage. Though you can do all these things without what I just mentioned, without these upgrades, it is a performance enhancement that gives you your time back to then go make more money with, and or quality of life, free time, if that's your angle. So, but knowing when to do that, knowing when you should do that, whether it's affordability or you're at that stage where you're holding yourself back, you're hindering yourself. Identifying that from you yourself, it's hard. Maybe you need to ask somebody, like, and I don't know, ask Mike. Mike, like, yeah, it's time. Spend the money. You're good to spend the money. Or we're like, no, you just started. It's not time to spend the money.
I thought it would never exist in eBay land, but it does now because how many brand new eBay sellers just use the listing software, right?
I feel bad for those people.
I'm just saying, dude, I never thought it would exist. Like I always thought eBay would be you have to list your shit yourself, and now they have the software which is comparable to the listing softwares on Amazon, and there's people out there that will never actually go in and wait. Johnny, do I move up in the? I got a eBay selling tier question, right? Like I used to be down in the dumps, right? Like lowest level, right? Like I'm grade F. Does me listing items on eBay through my phone move me up the ladder to D? And new sellers that never list any items through their phone that just use the cross listing AI listing, are they now F or am I still F?
I think you're all failing. I would say if you use a listing software, whether that's through your phone or desktop or whatever, your listing is going to be 70 to 80% correct. That's as probably as good as they are right now. There are some nuances, and that includes you having to go in and correct a few minor tweaks here and there. We're not at the point yet where it does 100%. Unless you build your own and silo it to your just yourself and code it yourself, you are not never going to be 100% best of the best listings at present state. Now, will that percentage increase over time? Well, absolutely, but we're not there yet.
All right, I tried. I'm still an F student on eBay, and I guess until something else stupid comes along that everybody's using, I'm stuck here in
It's
the
my job to crush your dreams, Mike. It's my job.
as listen, the day will come when I'm no longer an F student, and it is what it is. So we appreciate y'all listening or watching over on YouTube. We'll talk to y'all in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.